Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Cody Tapp, Ben Heisler with me for another half hour. Drew Nixon on the other side of the glass. Our thanks to Vinny Pasquantino for joining us. If you missed any part of that, catch it over on the podcast page. Joshua Briscoe joining me in about 30 minutes. Harold Kuntz in for Fan Club, brought to you by Jay Rieger, making Rye Manhattans. Sorry, Heiss. Oh, man. A little too early to be drinking Rye Manhattans. 11 o'clock? I don't know. I probably drunk earlier in this show.
As someone who has had a fair share of visits to the club, I've been treated very well. Not Rye Manhattan well, though.
You know, Jay Rieger is sponsored, and then the cocktail quality.
I did see, by the way, that a week or two ago, you guys had both their marketing director and also Miss Dugan.
We did have Miss Dugan. I had
love Miss Dugan.
Somebody had randomly, I was thinking, you know what, we got to mix up Fan Club every once in a while. Let's look for some fresh people. And somebody suggested her as a possible guest. She was excellent.
Oh, she was fantastic.
Sarah was excellent from Jay Rieger. Miss Dugan was excellent. Really enjoyable conversation. Felt like she did a great job. Had a drink. Everyone had a good time, you know?
Yeah. I particularly enjoy the different bits of advice that she's been trying to give. Because a lot of us guys can use it. Whether you're single or not, just awareness goes a long way.
So it turns out. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Heiser's going to give us a little player pass on some of the stats surrounding Kansas City, including what we expect to get to by the end of the year. But I asked Vinny this, and I was kind of doing this exercise myself. We're going to do the NFC later in the show, but Heiss, I thought you'd be great for the NFC side of this at the beginning. If you made someone guess right now, what are the 1-7 seeds? I want them over in the text line, 913-586-7965, or over on the YouTube chat, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch. We obviously live stream the show as well. Wherever you'll give it. What are your predictions through 1-7? Because I got to be honest, I do really wonder whether or not I could reasonably pick the Chiefs to win the division right now, knowing they're two games back, if you made me guess right now, or to pick the Patriots to not win the division, all the other stuff. But when I got through it, I'll give you my order, and then we can discuss where our differences are. I had the Bills as the number one seed. I had the Colts as the two seed.
Yep.
I had the Chiefs winning the division as the three. I'm sorry. I watched Denver last night, and it only reinforced my decision. The Ravens as the four, even though I think that there's some question there, but I bought off of the Steelers. Patriots is the 5, Broncos is the 6, and the Chargers by the skin of their teeth coming into the 7. I could be talked into the Jags, and this is not even a knock on the Chargers. I just think they are so hurt that it is going to be a challenge for them to make the postseason, and the Chargers and Jags play each other, I think, next week. So that very well could be the deciding factor of who is the 6 or the 7 or out of the playoffs, I think, in the end. So those are my 7. Who do you guys have? And then we can discuss.
It's really hard. You and I are in it's a very similar list. Yes. Cause I also have the Bills at number 1. I have the Colts at number 2, followed by the Chiefs. And again, it's the 2-game deficit in the division. When you recognize that they still have not played Denver 2 times, feels like it's very easy to make up. And also what we talked about at the beginning of the show, right? How lucky have the Broncos been? You can actually measure different luck ratings and metrics. They're they're tied for with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the luckiest team in the NFL so far this year. So at some point they're going to regress to the mean. I have them as the 5 seed. So still a very good record, but the Ravens ahead of them. Ravens, have you looked at their second half schedule? Their second half schedule for a team that has been consistently a pretty good team all throughout. After the Vikings at Minnesota, that'll be a bit more of a challenging game. At Cleveland, home versus the Jets, home versus the Bengals, home versus the Steelers. They have 3 home games in a row, two of them against their division.
And Bengals won't have Joe Burrow back yet.
Bengals won't have Joe Burrow back. Now they're on the road at Cincinnati mid-December. Maybe he's back at that point.
That'd be the earliest timeline, right? That'd be like
That'd be the first game that he's back, I think, yeah.
Honestly, though, it's like if the first game you can come back is December 14th and you only have 3 games, where the hell are you playing him?
And then the final three games are a bit of a challenge. Home versus New England, if you still buy into the pack that the Patriots are a really good team, I think they lose this weekend. At Green Bay, and then the game against the Steelers,
last few were a bit tough.
Yeah, that may not mean all that much, but right now this is the moment where they get themselves back in the race. I remember saying a few weeks ago that Lamar at 30-1 could still be a very viable MVP candidate.
Because if he turned it around and they were good.
Because how many teams have started, 1-6 and come back to make the playoffs? Almost like two or three
That's
of them?
The lowest I'd be willing to go on any MVP odds better at the moment.
100%, but for someone who had won it multiple times throughout the course of his career.
We just have the Broncos and the Patriots.
Correct, and then the Chargers in at number 7. And the Chargers are interesting too, just because how do you deal with them as a team dealing and decimated by injuries, but also a good quarterback, good running game. Like there's good coach, like established. I don't even think I'm leaving off anybody egregious.
I was very close to putting the Patriots as the 1 seed. Their schedule is a joke and they currently have the advantage over the Bills. I was very close to having the Broncos win the division, but in the end last night I watched that team and I'm like, that's the 1 seed. That's the AFC West division winner. I can't get there. Drew, is yours any different than ours, or is this a futile exercise? Okay, good. I was like, or is this a futile exercise where we have the same 17?
No, it's a little bit different. I've got the Patriots as the 1 seed. It just feels like they're going to do it. I do trust them, as you mentioned, and you guys have talked about more than Denver for sure. So I got Patriots 1, the Colts at 2, just like you guys do. The Broncos at 3. It feels like the ground is too, obviously not this weekend, but the following one, the Chiefs Broncos game. It feels like maybe, I don't know if I can claim that's a division winning game, but if the Chiefs win, I think they're winning the division. If the Broncos win, I think the Broncos are winning the division. I almost kind of put it up
to
that.
Too hard to get back to at that point, 3 games down.
Yeah, it feels like given that the Broncos won against Vegas, if the Broncos are 9-2, it just feels like it's too much ground to gain if you're Kansas City. So I feel like Denver would be the 3. And then the Ravens, I do feel like they're going to come back and win the division. I think the Bills and Chiefs actually might end up with the same record, but the Bills have the tiebreaker. I did have Chiefs at 5 and Bills at 6, but I'll flip them because the Bills beat the Chiefs this past weekend. And then the Jaguars, I think, make it. It's funny. It was between them or the Chargers. It feels like it's only between the Ravens /Steelers, Chargers, or Jaguars for that final playoff spot. It's just between whichever team doesn't win the AFC North and then those other two. Jacksonville plays the Chargers next weekend. That might be the game that ultimately decides who gets that 7 seed. So that'll be interesting. I still think Jacksonville, given that they're in the AFC South, I think that kind of bodes well for them down the stretch of the season. I think they might find a way to sneak in at the end.
If the Chiefs don't win the division the way you've got it stacked right now, Drew, which I don't think is an unreasonable
They'd
stand.
Be 6 playing the Broncos on the road.
If you're going to be a low seed, that's the dream setup. Oh, no. Like the Patriots and Colts and Broncos and either the Steelers or the Ravens are the top 4 seeds ahead of you. Okay. Sounds good to me. You wouldn't have to take on the Bills in the second round, because if the Chiefs don't win the division, they should be rooting for the Patriots to win it. That way, at least they might not have to go through a postseason. Could you imagine that be the first time the Chiefs had to go through a postseason where they didn't have to face the Bills, Ravens, or Bengals, or multiple of those teams? In most given years, you have to face a couple of them. And the same for the other teams. The Bills, if they're not going to win the division, that's the way they want it to go down. You root for the Steelers, you root for that, and you root for the Broncos, and you hope that if you got to go on the road, it's against teams who have not done anywhere close to the amount you have It is kind of tough because this isn't obviously the playoff field I had predicted before the season started.
No.
As you could imagine, I did not have the Colts making the playoffs at all, and I certainly had the Ravens winning the division, even though that's up for grabs. And I was probably a little more skeptical on the Patriots than maybe I should have been, all things considered.
By the way, Patriots 4-0 at home.
I
got on the road.
Yours and I's, Heisler, I feel like are the playoff teams because I have a hard time imagining one of these teams missing the playoffs and the Chiefs not making it. As in, if you switch the Ravens or Steelers, I'll hear it out. But I have a hard time imagining that it's the Jags that steals that spot from the Chargers, unless their offensive line just can't hold up, and then they beat them next week, and then I guess we're having a slightly... Is that game in L.A. or in Jacksonville?
It's in Jacksonville. Again, not...
Ooh, I like it better. I hate those cross-country. When you're like a team that's not playing well, and you got to go from L.A. to Jacksonville... Ooh. That does not feel like a good game.
I believe it's a noon game, which also doesn't help.
No.
That game is a noon game. It is a noon game.
Usually that's a great opportunity to fade the West Coast team. More often than not, that gets baked into the point spread. But again, you feel really confident about that. And Jacksonville, they're a different team at home too. They've done that. I remember like for a while, like the Colts hadn't beaten Jacksonville in Jacksonville for like 15 years. Mm. Something crazy along those lines. There's something about Duval County that just teams get weird.
Yeah, the Chiefs, and I still can't understand. I understand every game they lost this year, and it all makes sense. They were up 14-0, were clearly the better team. The entire time, were the better team, and lost. And I'm like, the hell happened here? They're like 500 yards of offense.
Football happened. That's what happened.
I know, but the Chiefs were immune to football happening for a long time. Like, the Patrick Mahomes era has had me be like, oh, not the Colts. They used to. I'm like, I don't care. He ruined all of those moments. Like, that's how I feel like Bears fans, Jets fans. Football happening, that happens to other teams. It hasn't been happening to Kansas City nearly as often, so it's kind of hard to like feel that way sometimes.
As we're evaluating these top teams in the AFC, obviously I think the surprise teams on this list would be Indianapolis and the Patriots. Between those two, which one do you have actual more confidence in that they're legitimate? Or is it both?
If it's between those two, I think it's actually a little bit harder because we've talked about... Denver or the Colts, I would lean Colts, but it's hard to not take Mike Vrabel and say, you know, I kind of trust that guy a little bit more. Plus what we've seen from Drake May. I think I'm still leaning Indy though, just because it feels like they've got more overall talent. I feel like particularly on offense, obviously Daniel Jones is the big question mark, but the way Jonathan Taylor's going, the way the offensive line is, they've
That's
got a lot of guys that they trust.
Team.
It feels like the Colts are better.
Yeah, their single biggest problem is the secondary, and at least they went and found a top 10 corner in the NFL. Like, they're at least trying
to
resolve part
of
their
issue. It's hard to go against the way Drake
May's
playing, though. He's playing MVP low-level stuff.
Also, Lou Amarillo, not the problem in Cincinnati with the defense.
Yeah.
Lack of talent.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Look, we'll see exactly where it plays out. I just wanted to get it on paper. We now officially have our mid-season playoff predictions the rest of the way. But let's play a little play or pass here with Benny Heiss. We obviously know you like to be in the sports wagering market, although... Women's sports, apparently, is where you've been making the sun shine lately from that end. But let's look through some Chiefs stuff, and then you're going to give us a few, and you're going to tell us whether or not you would bet one side or the other, and we'll tell you whether we bet one side or the other. Let's take a look through some of these. What do you got?
All right, so let's start with the conversation that I think all of us were having. Cody, I think I know where you would be, given that we both have the Chiefs as the team coming out of the AFC West. Chiefs, last check to win the AFC West, best price on the board was +150. Are you playing or passing it?
Playing. I mean, I think they're going to win the division. I just had to watch Bo Nix get in some grind out game with Geno Smith getting sacked 57 times. Genuinely awful football game to watch. That one I would play.
What about you, Drew?
I guess given my prediction, I would pass.
Even at 150. Plus odds for the Chiefs to win the division?
It does feel like it would just be a good play, and you kind of fade yourself, I guess, and fade myself in this prediction. But, I mean, +150 are obviously great odds at, what, week 11 of the season, or week, what, 9 of the season? Who'd have thought that the Chiefs would be plus odds to win the division?
That's pretty remarkable. So, now looking at a number, the Chiefs have won more than 11 games in all but 1 year, going all the way back to 2018. So right now, the Chiefs to go over 11.5 wins at the midway point of the season is at +170. Where are you guys on it?
+170. I like that it's plus money. I betted it over when it went down to 10.5. I consistently bet the over on the Chiefs wins anytime they get to a low number.
They can only afford one more loss, Cody, to have this happen.
I'd pass for now, or it's just like a no play. I'm not saying they can't get there, but it's like one I'm just like, eh, I don't want to bet it right now. I don't know what's going.
That's the thing. You see the plus odds and you think to yourself, this is almost an automatic for this team each and every year. They finally have everybody for the most part healthy, but I can't get there given the improvements in the division. And just, you're right. It's one more game. Can they actually get to that point and feel confident about it? I think people see the dollar signs in their head and they see the plus odds for the Chiefs to get past a number that they were expected to get past initially. I'm passing as well.
I don't know what the odd shift would be, but if they beat Denver, Cody, is that an automatic yes? It doesn't matter what the odds are. If it's still 11.5, I'm hammering that.
Yeah. I mean, plus money, I like that, but I just like, I can get a lot of 2-to-1 bets. I just think I'd avoid that. Mm-hmm. To win the AFC, you had mentioned?
Yeah, +320 and +600 to win the Super Bowl. They I believe, behind only Buffalo in those categories to win the AFC and to win the Super Bowl.
I just like, for me, win the AFC, why wouldn't I bet it? They have been...
If we're talking about automatics...
They have been in the AFC Championship game every single year. Patrick Mahomes has been the starter. So, yeah, I kind of lean towards, sure, you're giving me 3-to-1. Why not? I like that better than, weirdly enough, than the 11.5.
I might like it better than winning the West because
neither of those things have to happen, and I still get it at +320 or +600 to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, I like that for sure.
And there's not a whole lot of concern as to where they're playing. It's always nice to have it at Arrowhead, but if they need to go elsewhere and go on the road, that hasn't been a concern for them either.
Yeah, I feel like the AFC one, at the very least, I would definitely play it.
That one play.
All right, so here's some of the numbers in the individual numbers for Patrick Mahomes. MVP, +450. The passing yards leader, +425. And passing touchdown leader, +750.
I kind of like him as the passing touchdown leader.
You do?
Yeah.
So he's not the favorite in that one. The only one that he is the favorite right now is for the passing yards leader. But why passing touchdown leader at +750?
Because he was leading it for a chunk of the season already, and one game against the Bills where he only gets one passing touchdown doesn't feel like it should be the number that breaks it for me. He's not far off the pace. Right now the leader is at 21, which is Matt Stafford. I understand he's got a 4-touchdown lead on it right now. Mahomes was leading it not that long ago. I know that he's going to have a bye week, and so we'll have to see. He has got an additional game over Stafford, so that's a disadvantage. But if I'm getting it at the odds I'm getting at, +750, I think the Rams are far more likely to have their, even though their division is harder, they got a better chance than I have to play Week 17. Chiefs are going to have to play Week 17 against the Raiders. Like, that final game might end up being the determining factor, but you might have to play in that game. I just like it because of the odds. I'm not saying I for sure like it. I like it as a
spoken like a true better where you're following the number and not necessarily the play itself. I like the number for passing yards leader. I think it's a reasonable play, especially given where they are in the standings, right? They're going to need Mahomes to play. Now, he's running more, but he's still, from a passing perspective, averaging about 266 yards per game. That is top five right now in the NFL. And then you're right, he's only 4 touchdowns back. That's something that he could make up in a couple games or two. But I prefer that number where I just know he's going to be throwing, and I know that's going to be an integral part of the offense. And with the yards after catch guys all healthy, I think that's the play for me.
I will say right now he's 5th right now in passing yards per game, but Mac Jones is on that list and he won't stay on there because eventually he won't have enough qualified games when Brock Purdy comes back.
Yep.
So neither of them will have enough qualified games. Those two guys are ahead of him on the list, technically, although Brock Purdy has only played 2 games, so it doesn't count. Justin Herbert is 4 yards ahead of him. Daniel Jones is 6 yards ahead of him, and Matthew Stafford is 7 yards ahead of him in yards per game. So I don't hate that bet either, especially at 4-to-1. But again, I just think I like the AFC bet better, and I can just avoid it.
Yeah, the Daniel Jones one I think is a little bit more interesting, and maybe there's some intrigue for me, only because I think at some point, teams are going to start putting 8-9 guys in the box. Slow down Jonathan Taylor and say, all right, Daniel Jones, go ahead and beat us.
But that might not lead to enough yards. The Steelers' pass defense is awful. So, like, I don't think every time a team does that he's going for 350 or whatever the hell he went for
last week. I agree with that.
So that part really doesn't exactly get me. You got one more for me?
I do.
And then we're going to do an early random question of the day. Normally we do trash the day during this time, but you had a question, so we're gonna flip them this time.
All right, so there are touchdown props for the rest of the season for both Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce. I'm going to give them both to you guys. Rashee Rice listed at over 7.5 touchdowns.
Which is insane because he didn't play the first
six games, but it's at +170. Or Travis Kelce over 5.5 touchdowns. You got to pay a little bit more juice on that one at -125.
He's at 3 right now, a little over halfway through the season. I love the Kelce one. I fear the Rice one because eventually teams aren't going to just let him score.
I agree.
But you know, there's the wildcat part of it. I love the Kelce one. I have been making money off of Kelce overs for years because every year Vegas is like, 720 and a half in receiving yardage. I'm like, okay, sure, I'll take the over. Every year you're going to do this, I'm just going to take the over because you, for some reason, think the wheels are going to completely come off. And look, last year was a sweat. I only covered his number by, like, the skin of my teeth.
Right.
Covered it. It still covered, and this year it was even lower. And so, like, Kelce over 5.5, he's going to get in the end zone 3 more times. I don't fear that at all.
It's the season-long prop for Kelce that usually tends to hit. It's the game day prop, the week of prop that everybody is chasing. Them and the Swifties are going after, taking the over, and that usually doesn't hit. I'm with you, though. I think the number for Kelce makes all the sense in the world, minus 125. It's just because of the availability now. Like, you're seeing how the offense opens up having everybody else in there. So he's going to find the end zone, especially if we're expecting Mahomes to throw as much as he needs to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Halfway points, he'll get there.
Are these total touchdowns, or are they receiving? Do you know?
Usually, rushing would count.
Because Rasheed's played 3 games, he has 4 touchdowns. I feel like Rasheed to get over 7.5.
I just feel like that's going to slow down, and some other people are going to get in the end zone.
I think there's a reason why there's plus odds on it.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, 6 or 7 feels like a good number for Rice to be at some point. He's going to just have one of those off games, or 10 catches for 78 yards and no scores. That could happen.
All right. So normally during this time, we do trash of the day, but Heiss had a question for us. So we're going to do trash of the day in the random question spot. And for now, Drew, we're going to do random question instead. Random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. I know it's going to make you feel like it's the 1 o'clock hour, the noon hour. No, we're doing it early because Heiss had a question for us. Heiss, what's the question?
The question was, I saw across social yesterday that the Chicago Bulls radio announcer Chuck Swirsky was at the Vatican to present Pope Leo a custom Bulls jersey. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, why does this matter? Why do I care? The Pope, as many of you may have heard, is from Chicago. And not just Chicago. The Pope is a Bob from the South Side. That's the guy that you just hear would expect to call into a sports talk radio station with hot takes about the Bears. And he's the Pope now. So Chicagoans obviously had a field day when this first happened. But the problem is that how would you even gift His Holiness? What do you get for the Pope? I've had problems thinking of, like, if I'm going to, like, a friend's house and I need to bring something, what do I
You're
bring?
Like, do I bring a bottle of wine? Do I bring an appetizer?
What the so heck you're saying, are you supposed to
if
bring
I had
the
to
Pope?
If I had to give a gift to the Pope, what do I get him?
I don't know.
And honestly, is he keeping any of this? It actually feels like a lower stakes thing than if I went to a birthday party at your house. What am I giving the Pope that he's actually displaying or keeping or cares about?
How funny would
it be? It's just getting tossed to the side. I'd have a harder time buying for Drew. Oh, I don't know what to get Drew this year.
What if the Pope
maybe
had
wants a
man
new
cave?
Shirt?
And he had to, what if the Pope had a man cave with just nothing but Chicago sports memorabilia across it? It's not out of the realm
this
of
is
possibility.
What, I guess this
he
is
has a. Well, he does have now a authentic Chicago Bulls jersey that just says Pope Leo on it. But I'm almost wondering, too, because he's such a big fan. If he
would
have said,
retire from being the Pope, you just you have
you're just
Pope. Dead. You're just Pope forever.
Right, forever.
So you can't, like, hold on to all that. People give you gifts as the Pope. Like, they give you priceless Fabergé eggs. You can't compete. If you and I have to give the Pope something, it's got to be something personal. That's why the Bulls jersey works. Or it's got to be like...
Oh, so you're okay with the personalized Bulls jersey? Even though it's not going to be framed anywhere, it's not going
to be... I actually think that that's better than attempting, like, something of, like, history. Because you're not going to own anything of historical value from, like... You're not going to own, like, a King James Bible once owned by, like, Jefferson. You can't, you know... You can only compete...
Do you think LeBron James owns a King James Bible, by the way?
Oh, yeah, right?
Got to, right? Like, just naturally sends up to itself.
I would think if my name lined up in any way like that, I probably would. It's a great nickname. I don't know why I was with a friend the other day and we were randomly talking about best sports nickname. And we all universally agree on the same ones that always play. If it's your name all the time, Magic, or those are the ones. Or White Chocolate. You know, if nobody calls you by your regular name.
Shout out Jason Williams.
Great nickname.
I would love to know what the Pope's nickname was growing up.
Oh, man. What's his name? What's his full name? I don't remember this now.
I just remember his name is Bob, and he's from the South Side of Chicago.
Bob from the South Side of
South Side Bob. I don't know. I was also thinking, too, say the roles reversed. Obviously, I grew up in Chicago, but not Kansas City is my home. I've been here now almost 12 years. Say Kansas City and we're Pope instead of a Chicago-based guy. Like, what would you just get him, like a personalized Chiefs jersey? Would it be a Roy? Like, what would you get the Kansas City Pope?
Great question.
You're not bringing barbecue sauce to the Vatican.
And he probably already owns a Mahomes jersey. I think jersey's the play, but I think I would go unique player from the time in which he was a child. So let's say he's 40 years old, and I would find a player from when he was like 10, 11, 12, peak fandom, and it's got to be like, it would be like a Boomer Grigsby. Like, I would go
okay,
obscure.
So you're a real fan.
You're a real fan, and I'm proving you're a real fan by 10-year-old fan favorite player that only a Chiefs fan who is 10 would know. Not everybody knows a Mahomes jersey.
Right.
I'd go obscure.
Like the sentimental connection.
He'd have a Scott Skiles jersey, not Michael Jordan. You know, I'd get him something weird.
100%. If he somehow said, like, you know,
Stacey King,
like that man, like
over on Twitch, someone said stained glass piece of the city.
If the Pope is from Kansas City and I don't know where, you find out he was the biggest David DeJesus fan, you have to find a way to get a David DeJesus jersey and give it to him.
There's so many layers to what David DeJesus too. You know what I actually just thought of? How about like a custom Pope mobile, like decked out with your favorite team?
If it's endless money, sure. Like a little, it's geared up with some.
I think an NFL team can afford a Pope mobile.
Yeah, I think so. Man, a Pope mobile, that would be pretty sick.
Pope my ride.
When you're just, I mean, has anyone updated that one in a while? Here's the problem: is like, are they going to let you do this without like actually investigating it? You know. They got to like make sure that thing's actually safe. You got to get specs from the Vatican.
Like they're going to rip it apart and make sure that everything is.
Yeah, man. That's how
they're going to bring it to exhibit and he's going to deck it out. And that's a reference from a few years ago. Pope my ride.
Somebody from the 75, obviously a priest Holmes jersey.
Sick. If you're just going puns, there's kind of an endless choice. Christian Okoye, priest Holmes. David DeJesus, you get him any jersey that could have any kind of religious affiliation, and you put them together. Right?
Is there a player named Pope on the Chiefs at any point?
Mark Pope?
Mark Pope? Leonard Pope?
Leonard Pope. Leonard Pope was definitely on the team. Was definitely on the team.
So you just have a jersey that just says Pope on it.
Leonard Pope jersey is about as obscure as it gets. Because he played for the Chiefs, didn't he? He was drafted by the Chiefs, I thought. Yeah. No, he just played for him after. He spent 3 years in Kansas City, old Leonard Pope.
3 years in Kansas City?
Mm-hmm. David, it was a...
I thought Leonard Pope was going to be so good.
It was a dark time.
6'8", 264. Thought that guy was going to be a gazelle trying to just get over the middle of the field, just
too
catch
big.
Touchdown after touchdown.
Too
yes.
big. That was the problem. That's the random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care. Heiss has got places to be, so he's going to step away. Our guest Joshua Briscoe will join us next during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Talk all things bye week and where the Chiefs stand after their loss to the Bills and what he saw maybe against the Broncos last night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Back in here on Cody and Gold, Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net. Time to talk a little Chiefs football with our guy Joshua Briscoe. He's going to sit in for the full half hour. Briscoe, you know, I'm not getting off easy today. I need you for a full 30 minutes to break down how much Bo Nix is ass.
I'll tell you what, we need more time than that, probably. I don't know if this half hour is going to be enough. I've never believed in a five-game winning streak like the Broncos have had less than I do right now. An Eagles win is legit impressive. Everything since then feels like smoke and mirrors.
Legitimately, and I understand that, like, somebody in Denver is going to pull this clip, and they're going to play this if the Chiefs lose to the Broncos in 10 days from now. But I watched the Denver Broncos play, and you cannot convince me that they are going to beat Kansas City 10 days from now, knowing what they are on offense. I respect their defense. I understand how good Nick Benito is. I will say the Raiders have one of the worst offensive line in football. But what you said, they beat the Jets 13-11, followed it up with trailed by 19 and eked out against the Giants 33-32. Beat the hell out of Dallas. Kudos. Barely beat Houston 18-15, beat the Raiders last night 10-7 in a game in which they had 35 sacks and a blocked punt and still only managed 10 points. I can't take – Bo Nix doesn't look good.
No, it's because he's not. I'm not even as confident as you are in what this means for next week, because I think the Chiefs also occupy this space. Like, but what I did last night was I tweeted out that run of the schedule and said I've never been less impressed by a stretch of 5-0 football. And somebody on Twitter sent back the Chiefs run last year: Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, Browns, and Texans, as if that wasn't exactly my point. Like, I remember that from last year. We talked about that last year. I'm standing by exactly my original statement here. These five games from the Broncos, if you watch the football games and you leave those games with confidence in the Denver Broncos, I don't know what you're watching. I don't know that that translates to success for the Chiefs. The Broncos have played all of these tight, close games, these fourth quarter comebacks against a bunch of these crappy teams. And if you told me that the Chiefs Broncos is going to be tied 17 in the fourth quarter next week, I'd say, sure. Yeah, no, why wouldn't it be? Because the Chiefs also will do that. Like, we've seen them time and time again. They'll hang around with a bad team, or they'll let a bad quarterback have a good day, or their offense will sputter at a bad time. I think that's totally on the table. The Broncos beating the Chiefs next week would make me feel terrible things about the Chiefs. It wouldn't make me respect the Broncos a whole lot more. Like, I think they deserve to be favored in the AFC West. And if they win the AFC West, good for them. But I cannot wait to pick against them to lose a home game in the playoffs.
Well, I guess part of it is just, this is why I still think the Chiefs have a good shot at the AFC West. I don't blame people for saying the Broncos will win it. They got a two-game advantage halfway through the year. That is a nice size advantage. The Chiefs can erase it by just beating them.
Yes.
Like, it is gone, and they have the tiebreakers, and they're the lead team simply by just beating Denver. And while they do get a mini-bye, I do think there's an advantage in the fact that Andy Reid got to sit down there for the entire game last night and scout what Denver's doing and spend the rest of the bye week figuring out and self-scouting where their problems are. If you were the Chiefs, by the way, where do you think your single biggest self-scout area is? Is it how do we figure out to get more pass rush? Is it what do we do with linebackers and coverage? Like, where are you spending your time, I guess, in the self-scout this week?
I think starting with, like, not the actual answer, but just one thing that I think we have to mention, I think the biggest offensive thing against Buffalo was that the offensive line started breaking down. Yeah. And it was a thinned out Bills unit, so that's still pretty concerning. But Josh Simmons is back at the facilities, and Trey Smith has a week to not play football and try to get healthier, as does Juwan Taylor. And by the end of that game, Creed Humphrey was the only healthy starter. Like, Kingsley even left and came back and all of that. So I'm not panicking on the O-line. I think what we saw before the Bills game, I think that still stands on its own. I think the biggest issue is the pass rush, and frankly, it's the only move that around the trade deadline that I really did think they would make some sort of move to add another body in there. And I don't think that losing Broderick Martin off of the practice squad is like a huge deal, but it's kind of funny that like one of their available practice squad defensive tackles got poached after the trade deadline by the Steelers. And now the Chiefs are just here with Mike Pennell reunion time and the power of friendship, I guess. Because the pass rush collectively has just not been, it hasn't been an impactful unit. And I think we saw against Buffalo what happened. Patrick Mahomes, as unbelievably excellent as he is, he is human when pressured. Josh Allen, yes, as flawed as he can be, looks superhuman when he's never pressured. So I know that it ends up being like kind of one of the full circle things with football analysis, where it's like, you know, penalties and turnovers and pressuring the quarterback. But you get to the other side of that bell curve and you go, well, it's kind of penalties and pressuring the quarterback and not turning the ball over. So my biggest concern the rest of the way is the pass rush. I don't know if that's even the right answer to your self-scouting question, because I don't know what they're going to scout out. Like, if they take this bye week and they look at their pass rush and go, oh man, we really need another body here. Well, it's too late. That realization should have come several weeks ago, and whatever was on the market, obviously they weren't that interested in it.
It's a little bit like the Royals offseason, where I think that like some of their problems and like, how do we fix the offenses? Well, Jack Caglione just has to hit. And so like for the Chiefs, it's a little bit of Charles Omenihue has got to be better, and he has been better in the second half. In a weird way, with Chris Jones, though, I feel like less playing time would be more. As in, maybe it's not time. And I know Spags will just, like, maybe it's not time to have him play 81% of the snaps. And instead, save him for those pivotal moments if you think the team can keep it close. And maybe a fresh Chris Jones has a better chance of getting the quarterback. I don't know what that means. Probably means more Leo Chenal on the line or more Jaden Hicks and less linebacker heavy units, but like it does feel like they're going to have to mix and match in a way that they haven't so far.
I'll add to that by noting, you know, everybody talks about George Karloftis's motor and how relentless he is and his effort and how much he's on the field and all of that. Chris Jones has played 4 fewer snaps this year than George Karloftis. George Karloftis has officially played 414 defensive snaps, and Chris Jones has played 410. And those guys don't win the same way. They're not the same type of player. They're not the same age. So I am with you on that, where I think we should probably be having a little bit of a Travis Kelce-esque conversation with Chris Jones of like, hey, man, can somebody else take a little bit of this burden? And some of the stats, some of the advanced stats on Karloftis's pressure numbers have been really good. And I got to say, that is radicalizing me against certain pressure stats, because I've watched these football games and at no point is, and this also can include Chris Jones, no one is taking over in the pass rush. Karloftis isn't doing that. Chris Jones isn't doing that. I don't expect anybody else to do that. You want a play from Omenihue, Dana. You wanted a play from Omar Norman-Lott. Obviously, he's out of the picture now. Weston Gilotti, I suppose. He's gotten more playing time, which is good to see. Just him getting more into the swing of things. But I think all of those guys, you just need a play or two here or there, and that ultimately raises the level of your unit as a whole. I think we need some takeover snaps from Jones and Karloftis. And I do think, this has been a step down for Jones so far this year. And I also still think he's their best pass rusher by a pretty healthy margin.
Look, it's fine. Like, I think Karloftis, like, all the stats say that he's been around. Like, it's not, he's just, I don't know. Some of this is, look at how he's paid amongst other elite defensive ends who have been paid. Look at his numbers, and he is, he's a good deal. He's a perfectly fine defensive end that a lot of teams would be happy to have on their roster. He is not Myles Garrett, and he's never been Myles Garrett. He's probably never going to be Myles Garrett. And so that part is just like something I think sometimes we don't accept is, I can accept that Nick Bolton isn't good in coverage. I know that. I know the things he's good at and the things he's not. What I've noticed more, and this is where I really want Spags to be in his bag, is I feel like, unfortunately, lately this season, there's been a couple of times where I think teams have taken advantage of Spags' loyalty of sticking with personnel groups, and they're starting to take advantage of some of that better than they had in years past. So, like, I think in the self-scout for Spags, he's got to figure out different personnel groups. Otherwise, teams will continue to take advantage of some of the coverage issues.
I agree with that, and I think the Bills game ultimately comes at a good time, I suppose, from like that self-scouting perspective, because it's as tough of a game as Drew Tranquil's had in a very long time. And a couple of those big plays, like one he fell over and one he got picked up in a pick. So like, I don't know if that means he can't play pro football anymore, but it was a tough game for him, and I think you have to look at a guy like Jaden Hicks and figure out, is there a role for him where maybe he can, with a little bit of speed and a little bit of youth there, can he bridge that gap in some, to some extent? Like you said, I don't think you can ask more of most of these players. I think a lot of these guys are in the roles that they're in for specific reasons. Like, it's trying to accentuate their strengths and limit their weaknesses. That's a very tough way to continue living when you're not getting an absolutely elite effort from Chris Jones, when you're not getting a true defensive end disruptor year from George Karlaftis to this point, when the secondary has been very, very good, especially the corner, Trent McDuffie, yeah, is still excellent. Jalen Watson has been very good this year. Noah Williams in the mix. Like, I think we've seen reasons to be optimistic about that. But Shamari Connor's playing every snap. Nick Bolton's playing every snap. Those aren't Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. Those are not perfect players. And so I do think that there's a little bit of just trying to scheme around your limitations that Spags has been unbelievable at. I just think it's even harder to do that when you're not getting the pass rush. Getting the pass rush feeds everything up so much that quarterbacks don't have time to pick on their favorite matchup or to let a play unravel over such a period of time that they find somebody just bursting open downfield. Without the pass rush, all of the degree of difficulty just raises so, so much.
Am I allowed to say, like, so I'm going to say something critical of Patrick Mahomes. What do I have to say before so that people don't think I've lost my mind that he's not the best quarterback in the NFL?
My name is Alex Gold, and...
Yeah, so... My name's Alex Gold, and I've got a problem with something Patrick Mahomes does. Look, he's amazing. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. He's one of the single greatest quarterbacks to ever live. Last season, he got, it's not the yips, but the pressure got to him that he started leaving pockets too early and making uncommon mistakes because he mentally felt pressure that wasn't there. I saw that in the last game against the Bills in a couple of snaps. And I was like, boy, you snapped into that real quick. And I was like, why did you go back to that Patrick Mahomes so fast? They only pressured you just this one time this year. And that always concerns me a little. Like, why did he go to let's abandon clean pocket mode in a couple of snaps so fast when he's had the protection this year? It felt like one game was enough for him to be like, I better get out of here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's totally fair, and I think that it's also jarring because he has looked so comfortable this year, even with Jalen Moore coming in for Josh Simmons. I absolutely agree. I think that's the right takeaway from the Bills game, and I think it's the most sort of jarring difference from what's happened through the first half of the season before that. I do think that you look back at last year, and it's very easy to understand how and why that happened, right? Because if you do just stay in the pocket, you do just let things happen around you, you're taking four more sacks a game than you're currently taking. Like, Mahomes is unbelievable. I know you know this. Like, Mahomes is unbelievable on the move, on the run, outside of the pocket, and continuing to create. But the fine line I think you want to draw is that when there is just not a free rusher, but when there is a flash of color that you will see out of the corner of your eye on the offensive line, you want Mahomes to be able to trust, like, oh, that's going to get picked up, or I'm going to have a little bit longer because Kingsley or Creed or Trey Smith, if it's from the interior, they're going to die a slow death, and they're going to make sure that I have just enough time to get this ball up. And Mahomes takes a ton of hits when throwing the football because he wants to wait to the last possible second because that gives the receiver another half second to get open. So I think that there was a bit of regression there against the Bills. And again, I don't think I'm concerned about continuing throughout the rest of the year. I do think you have to be concerned that when there is a game where Mahomes is being heavily pressured, and if it happens in the playoffs, it's going to be a big deal. If there's a game where he is heavily pressured, that you will see those tendencies come back up again. And then that makes him operate out of timing. And I don't know that any of the receivers had a great day. I don't know that Andy Reid had a great day schematically for the Bills game. Frankly, I don't know that anybody had a great day there. Certainly not on offense. And I don't know, the defense had its own problems, obviously. I had higher expectations for the offense. And I know that Josh Allen is good. And I know where the Chiefs' pass rush problems are. All that to say, I think there's a team effort of a lot of things snowballing against Buffalo, but I'm absolutely with you. That's something I've been talking about this week, too. I think we're on the same page. You cannot get a hurried Patrick Mahomes and get the best version of Patrick Mahomes, and he knows that better than we do.
What's your way too early prediction? Will Joshua Simmons immediately get his starting job back? My assumption is it'll be
Moore and Taylor, and if anybody gets hurt or stinks, Simmons will be on the call immediately. But then he won't actually start on Sunday against the Broncos. A week from Sunday.
I will first say I don't have any insight.
No, I'm just guessing.
Your guess, your gut. My assumption has been that he will just step right back in. And ooh, I honestly hadn't even really thought about it that much, which might mean that you're onto something there. I guess it might depend a little bit on how these last several weeks of communication went and what kind of physical shape he's coming back in. I mean, I don't know if he hasn't been able to work out during the last 4 weeks, and yet maybe he shouldn't immediately start. You know, obviously him being back in the facilities for the bye week, I think is a very good sign in terms of just getting him back up to speed on stuff. But yeah, I mean, obviously he hasn't been in the meeting, so it's not just like he was even, you know, in meetings and going to do rehab and getting through an injury or something. So there are enough question marks there that I do think that's a good question to ask, even though I haven't considered it a ton. The other thing is that I'm curious what the state of Juwan Taylor's health ends up being. Because you mentioned, hey, if one of those guys goes down, I think there's at least a chance that next week comes around that it's just Josh Simmons and Jalen Moore at left and right tackle. Since Taylor didn't finish that game. Now, Taylor's had that knee injury that's just been lingering for over a year now. And so maybe the bye week is just what Juwan Taylor needs to get back to the way he was playing before the Bills game. That was his worst game in a while,
at least. It was bad.
And so again, like I want to be optimistic that the guy we saw the previous four or five games or whatever is still out there. But yeah, I think if Juwan Taylor isn't good to go, then I think that decision gets forced, obviously. I don't think you're essentially playing Wanya Morris over Josh Simmons on his first time back. But I think, at least my hope would be that Simmons is in a place where he's ready to go right away and the Chiefs just give him the keys again.
In totality, do you think that this is a more talented team than last year's team?
Yes, I do. And I think maybe it's also specifically like more talented where it matters the most. Again, I think
offensive line, weapons.
Yes. The O-line is still the first thing. And obviously the wide receiver situation is much, much better, which you wouldn't have known from the Bills game, which is frustrating. I think that's one of the reasons that game is so jarring, because the two places where it is significantly better than it was last year's O-line and wide receiver, we started to see the glimpses of that in those previous couple of weeks with Rashee Rice back especially. But I do think it's a more talented group. I think the defense has such an obvious weakness in the pass rush that it's a frustrating one to look at and kind of just acknowledge that flatly. But no, I do think it's a better, I think the overall health of the group is in a better place.
For sure.
Because of the offensive line and the wide receivers.
Briscoe, quick Chiefs sidestep for just a minute, because I feel like you're a guest qualified to comment on this. Phil Mickelson's been going back and forth with Pablo Torre. He had found some maybe possible cases of insider trading, which is a reminder he has been guilty of before. Phil said, I know from experience of being in the public eye makes me a frequent target for sensationalized media coverage. I get that it comes with the territory, but there are no legal limits on false reports. Then the writer who was on Pablo's podcast says, we stand by our fact-checked, legally vetted reporting and provided you with multiple chances to comment prior to publication. Is Phil Mickelson picking a fight with Pablo Torre equivalent to when Drake picked on Kendrick and it's a huge mistake? He's digging up dirt on everybody. Stay out of that man's purview.
Your last statement there is the truest. I really like Pablo Torre. I think at some point we've maybe interacted briefly on social media at some point over the years. I don't have anything to hide, Cody. I live a very transparent life, and I certainly don't have Phil Mickelson's money. But I don't even want Pablo Torre to know I exist for a little while.
If you heard Pablo Torre was looking into you like, oh God, what did I do?
Yes. No. If I found out that Pablo Torre was calling like my friends and family or employers or whatever, I think I would try to get a hold of him. Just be like, hey man, tell me what you know. Maybe I should know what's happening here, because clearly you are going to, as the show title infers, you are going to find out. I cannot. Sure, he was ahead of the curve on this last round of NBA related gambling ring nonsense. Like they were talking about that in June or July, I think. I cannot imagine the arrogance that must be required to pick up a fight with Pablo Torre right now. But I look at who's doing it, and I do see a couple of common threads.
Like if I were Phil, man, I just don't say anything. Just be quiet and hope they forget you exist.
Phil Mickelson, you have all just go. I mean, yeah, I don't. look, I know we needed more than 30 minutes to talk about all the ways that Bo Nix is a disappointment to the sport of football. Mm-hmm. If you want to take another 30 minutes, I'll delay my future plans. We can just talk about the idea of incredibly, incredibly wealthy people not enjoying having any of their things looked at by a journalist.
Yeah, I got to be honest. If I was that wealthy, I'd just stay out of trouble. You know, just live my life.
It was so easy.
Go to the beach.
It was so easy. And by the way, you don't need Mark Cuban or Steve Ballmer money or Phil Mickelson money. There's a lot less money that would send me to a beach. If I'm James Franklin, I'm not looking for work. Like,
oh, I said the same thing. I said the same thing. If they gave me one of those coaches' buyouts and they said $50 million, but it's only $25 million if you don't look for work, you'd be like, well, I'll be done looking for work. And you'll never hear from me again. I'll be like a ghost, that guy Cody, who maybe once hosted radio for a while.
Right. That's the thing also that I feel like we have to make the subtext text. We do radio. We like a little public eye. Mm-hmm. We like talking about sports and having people hear our voices and whatever happens to our souls as children that led us to microphones and thinking, I deserve to talk into one of these. Whatever sickness that got us here, we're here. Do you know how easy it would be for me to deactivate my Twitter account if I knew what my bank account looked like? I feel like that would be an easy, easy win that a lot of these people just refuse to take.
It's true. Briscoe, really appreciate the time here on a Friday, obviously. Chiefs bye week, so we'll catch up with you next week, and then hopefully, even though the Raiders couldn't come through with us, maybe the Steelers can get the win against the Chargers this weekend.
I just can't wait to preview the 17-14 Chiefs win over the Broncos we're all going to enjoy next week. It's going to be fun.
Should be a good time. Thanks, Briscoe. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you later, Cody.
That's Joshua Briscoe. Obviously, you can catch him on our pre- and post-game show. When we have it, Drew, obviously we don't have a pre- and post-game show this week. Look, all I'm saying about Pablo Torre is, like, I don't care if you like it. Just stay out of the man's way.
I think you're right.
Don't be picking social media fights with a person who's been digging up dirt on everybody in the sports realm for the last, like, 6 months or a year.
Yeah, there's certain people who you just want to avoid, and not necessarily because you don't like them, but because out of respect, you know what they do. You don't want them involved. You know, like, obviously, yeah. we love the FBI obviously does a great job. As soon as the FBI is involved in something regarding you, that's...
If the FBI says we're looking at something, you'd be like, uh-oh,
yeah.
what did I do?
Yeah, yeah. If Pablo Torre is investigating, then yeah, I totally agree. Which, and...
I gotta be honest, I read some of those text messages that were listed there. It sure sounds like insider trading. I'm not saying that it is, because I don't know SEC rules. He's outwardly in the text messages saying, this guy told me they're getting ready to make a public announcement that's going to affect the stock share. See ya in a bit.
Yeah,
feels like insider trading.
Yeah, getting that sort of insight ahead, it does feel very shady, as the similar situation.
And he got in trouble for
sports betting on, hey, this guy's not going to play tonight, so bet on this team to lose or whatever. It just feels shady. Like, you know, just stay out of your own way. If you're Phil Mickelson, you can go to the casino and you can wager money and all that stuff. But why do you have to take it? Why do you got to go the extra mile in this extra step? You know, you have enough money that you can fool around a little bit. You don't have to be not smart.
I would think after he took that live money, he wouldn't need any more. I mean, reportedly he needed that money because he was not great with his. But I mean,
I don't remember what his contract was there, but the money that they're paying out. Yeah, exactly. The money that they're paying out, it doesn't matter.
Celebrity Net Worth says he's worth $300 million. So.
Does it really?
I don't know if he's actually worth that, but
he's got to be one of the wealthiest in terms of net worth athletes of all time. Mm-hmm. Then,
yeah,
with that sort of a
probably up there
of a range.
When we come back, we'll talk more about that game last night. Why I'm not taking the Broncos serious, and you can't make me. Plus, there's something happening in Major League Baseball that I think applies to the other leagues, the NFL specifically, and why I think it's an arms race. I'll tell you why next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.